President Trump delivered a Thanksgiving message from his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida to American service members on duty around the world today. Here's the president speaking to Marines stationed in Kuwait.
You're special people, very, very special people, and we're very proud of you. And give my regards to Kuwait and everybody, but a lot of progress being made. Your country is really doing well. It's really doing well, like it hasn't done before. So that's good. It's always good to be fighting for something that is working. And unlike a lot of countries, this one works well, and it's working better than ever. So we'll see you when you're back, or maybe we'll see you some other place.
The U.S. military says 300,000 pounds of traditional Thanksgiving Day food will be served to men and women in the armed forces around the world today. That includes the troops serving on the U.S.-Mexico border, sent there just before the election to stop the caravan of migrants that was hundreds of miles away. President Trump was asked about those troops before he left the White House to spend Thanksgiving in Florida.
Don't worry about the Thanksgiving. These are tough people. They know what they're doing, and they're great, and they've done a great job. You're so worried about the Thanksgiving holiday for them. They are so proud to be representing our country on the border, where if you look at what's happening, Mexico, the people from Tijuana are saying, wow, these are tough people. They're fighting us.
Joining us now is Paul Rieckhoff, who is CEO and founder of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. He served in the Iraq War. Paul, welcome back to Here and Now, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jeremy. Great to be with you.
And what do you think when you hear the president say that these are tough people, you know, don't worry about them on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, that's true, but that doesn't mean they should be abused. You know, they've been through a lot over the last decade and a half, you know, really been deployed on and off since 9/11. They've missed a lot of Thanksgivings. They've missed a lot of birthdays. They've missed a lot of funerals. They've missed life for the last decade and a half in America. And when it comes down to it, if you're going to send them on missions, you've got to support them and at least be empathetic, be a little aware of the demands we're asking on them. I mean, beyond that, the entire statement's kind of convoluted and rambling. They're not actually fighting with anybody down at the border, at least not that we know of. It looks like they're setting up Constantina wire, and they're all going to be home by Christmas. So It's really, I think, a disappointing compounding of what's been a really bizarre and, I think, dangerous deployment of our troops for something which seems really to be like a political stunt. We're hearing that from across the Pentagon, from my friends that I talk to on active duty units. They just don't understand why this has any mission that's not political.
Well, Defense Secretary Mattis did say that we don't do political stunts in the Defense Department.
Yeah, he also got quoted off the record, you know, saying he wasn't really sure what the mission was down there. I mean, I don't think anybody's really sure, you know, why they're down there and what they're supposed to do. It's really a mission better designed for the National Guard. They do it all the time. But instead, we pulled pieces from active duty units all around the country. And we also pulled them away from, you know, potentially being better ready to deploy to places like Afghanistan and Syria. It's really, I think, the highest level of politicization of our military that we've seen over the last few years under administration that's politicized the military like we've never seen.
What do you think about the fact that President Trump has not visited American troops in war zones since he became president almost 2 years ago?
You know, we have a membership of about 400,000 people at IAVA, and they have diverse opinions. So I'm speaking for myself here. I think it's bad. I don't think it helps American troops. I don't think it helps public awareness. He doesn't have to go, but he really should go, especially around Thanksgiving, especially around the holidays, most of all to bring awareness to the fact that they're there. You know, our members often call Afghanistan Forgottistan because they feel like our friends are over there and nobody's paying attention. It's not an issue in the media. It wasn't an issue in the midterm elections. And it feels like our troops are being forgotten and that America is exhausted by these wars. And if Trump doesn't want to go over there, well, too bad. It's kind of his job as commander-in-chief to boost morale, to tell our troops that they're not forgotten, and to get them whatever kind of support we can, especially after an exhausting couple of decades and continued casualties. There continue to be casualties in Afghanistan that are really unrecognized.
It is interesting that he hasn't gone and that he didn't go to Arlington National Cemetery on Veterans Day and that he didn't go to that memorial in Europe because it was raining, he said, and he said security wouldn't allow him to go. But it's interesting that he hasn't done those things, given that he spends so much time talking about how important the veterans are, how important the military is to him.
Well, these are unforced errors. They're not good for him either, politically. This will hurt him with his base. It'll hurt him with the military. We've seen a recent Military Times poll that showed his popularity is dropping. A one-off is perhaps understandable or excusable, but when it becomes a pattern, we've all got to ask what's really going on here. This also, you know, comes on the back of the attacks on the Khan family, the Gold Star family. It comes on the backs of attacks on John McCain, and even most recently, Admiral McRaven, who's really kind of a hallowed figure in the special operations community. And Trump's bizarre, claims that he's a partisan in the last week don't help him politically and really drive a wedge between our military and our political leaders. I think it also is something that's celebrated by our enemies. If you're our enemies overseas and you see our president taking shots at a former Navy SEAL commander and all these other military folks, we look divided. And I think that's something that our enemies will celebrate.
Did you miss holidays like Thanksgiving when you were in the military?
Absolutely. You know, I was in Iraq in 2003 in 2004 when George Bush came through. I didn't see him. He was in and out. We were at a pretty remote base. And I think, you know, we were happy to hear that America was paying attention, that they knew we were there. Holidays can be tough. You know, we are tough people. We'll suck it up. We'll drive on. But at the same time, you want to know that you're remembered and that you're appreciated. And especially now, you know, everybody's asking, what is our mission? Whether it's Afghanistan or even, you know, recent strikes in Africa, I think we need clarity from our leadership about what our mission is. And we need to know that people are going to be there for us. And that includes when we come home. You know, it's ironic that he's not visiting troops, during the holidays at the same time where the VA is failing to make GI Bill payments to students who are in school. So we're hearing from our members who are struggling financially, who are struggling emotionally, quite simply because of a bureaucratic error at the GI Bill. And President Trump hasn't even talked about it. You know, Press Secretary Sanders hasn't even mentioned it. It's a real lack of awareness and a disconnect from what's really happening on the ground that I think is especially troubling around the holidays.
This is the 17th Thanksgiving that U.S. troops have been serving in Afghanistan. How long do you think that war is going to go on?
I have no idea. It looks like it could go on forever. You know, we've called these our forever wars. You know, I would not actually be surprised if my son's generation has some form of a strategic lily pad in Afghanistan or even in places like Iraq. But I think that's the question that every American needs to ask our president. The press corps needs to ask him that every day. And we need to ask, you know, every elected leader, what is their plan for Afghanistan? It's really become a third rail. Folks don't seem to want to get into it because there's no easy solution. That's known at this point. But I think they owe it to the troops who are over there fighting and dying and to the American population to give us a reason for why they're there and how are we going to support them going forward. I would have never told you when I came home in 2004 that we'd be fighting for GI Bill payments, that the VA would still be a bureaucratic mess, that we'd have to, you know, fight for mental health care. You know, those are things that should be a part of the social compact that America signs and honors with our military. And the reality is they haven't. You know, they've done a good job in some areas, but too many times we've failed on that commitment we make to our troops. And I think it's especially glaring around the holidays.
So for veterans in this country, the people who rely on your organization, what are the biggest issues right now? We've talked to you in the past, and suicide has always been one of the top ones. But what are the big issues this year?
Suicide still is. We've got what we call a Big Six list of advocacy priorities, and they're on our website at iava.org/Big Six. We've asked our members, and they're the younger generation. Their average age is in their 30s. They're about 20% female. They're ethnically diverse, politically diverse. Suicide is definitely number one. Recognizing and supporting women veterans is number two. We've got a huge cultural problem within the VA. We've called on the VA to change the VA motto to include women. That's making some progress, but still taking too long. We need to obviously reform the VA. We need to defend the GI Bill. The GI Bill is under attack from cuts. It's also now experiencing these unacceptable bureaucratic failures. We also want exposure for burn pits, toxin exposures that have happened on the battlefield that could be our generation's Agent Orange. And our members have also told us they feel strongly about medical cannabis. They right now can handle weapons and complex missile systems, but they can't have access to medical cannabis when they come home if they're injured. So these are the big six issues that IAVA is focused on, and we think all Americans can be focused on, especially around the holidays.
I just want to ask you finally about the VA. It's been in chaos this year. Secretary David Shulkin was fired. He said because he resisted Trump administration efforts to privatize the VA, he was replaced by Robert Wilkie. And he spoke to Morning Edition earlier this month. Wilkie, did here he is.
I'm not going to talk about predecessors other than to say I've been credited by members of the Senate with being a pretty good historian, and that might have diverged on revisionist history. No, and I've said it, you're not going to privatize this institution.
Are you confident that Wilkie can turn the VA around?
No, absolutely not. And he may say that he's, you know, not intending to push privatization, but the president is. We've seen the greatest expansion of privatization in the modern era in the last 2 years. So the rhetoric is not matching up with the execution. And privatization is something that veterans groups and veterans across the country have opposed. We do need innovative solutions, but they've been clear that privatization is not the answer. Making healthcare companies rich and providing profit incentives is not the key to reforming the VA, and veterans have spoken loud and clear about that.
That's Paul Rykoff, who is founder and CEO of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Paul, thank you so much, as always, for speaking with us, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jeremy. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.